Welcome back to another deep dive, everybody. Today, we're going to be tackling some pretty thought-provoking stuff. Population growth, resource scarcity, and even, you know, the role of government in all of it.
Sounds like a pretty full plate.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And to get us started, you brought some clips from a YouTube video titled The Population Bomb and Other Disasters. It's from a channel called Mrs. Media. And it's, well, it's a bit of a doozy.
It is. It really delves into some pretty controversial ideas.
So where do we even begin with something like this?
Well, I think the best place to start is with the idea that's at the heart of it all. This notion that there are simply too many people on the planet and not enough resources to go around.
Right. Like we're all competing for a slice of a pie that's just not big enough.
Exactly. And that idea has been around for centuries, actually. It goes all the way back to a guy named Thomas Malthus way back in the 1700s.
Oh, yeah. Malthus. Didn't he say something about, like, population growing exponentially while food production only grows linearly?
He did. And he believed that this imbalance would inevitably lead to widespread famine, disease, and all sorts of, well, unpleasantness.
Yikes. So basically, he was predicting a global catastrophe because of overpopulation.
That's putting it mildly. And his ideas, while controversial, have had a pretty profound impact on how we think about population growth and its consequences.
Okay, but fast forward to the 20th century.
Yeah.
And those Malthusian ideas got a serious boost with the publication of a book called The Population Bomb, right?
Right. Written by Paul and Ann Ehrlich back in 1968, this book basically took Malthus's theories and cranked them up to 11.
So they were predicting some pretty dire stuff, too.
Oh, yeah. Mass starvation, societal collapse, environmental devastation, you name it, they predicted it. They even went so far as to say that hundreds of millions of people would starve to death in the 1970s.
Wow. That's pretty grim.
It is. And the crazy thing is, these predictions, while shocking and scary, they actually gained a lot of traction. People were genuinely worried about a global population crisis.
So what happened? Did the world descend into chaos like they predicted?
Well, thankfully, no. The mass starvation and societal collapse they foresaw never materialized. In fact, quite the opposite happened. Global food production actually increased dramatically in the decades following the book's publication.
So they were wrong.
Well, yeah, pretty much. The Ehrlichs and other Malthusians failed to account for something pretty crucial: human ingenuity.
So we're talking about, like, innovation and technology and stuff.
Exactly. They underestimated our capacity to find solutions to problems, to adapt and create new ways of doing things. Think about the agricultural revolution, for example. New farming techniques, fertilizers, genetically modified crops. These innovations dramatically increased food production, allowing us to feed a growing population.
Okay, so if these predictions were so off, why are we even talking about Malthus and the population bomb today? Why does any of this matter?
Well, it matters because even though the predictions themselves were wrong, the ideas they put forth had a real impact on the world. These ideas seeped into policymaking, shaping how governments approached population control and resource management.
Hmm, interesting. So what kind of impact are we talking about here? Give us some examples.
Sure. The video you shared mentions a pretty disturbing case in Peru where U.S. foreign aid money was actually used to fund involuntary sterilization programs targeting indigenous women.
Whoa, seriously?
Yeah. And the justification for these programs was rooted in this fear of overpopulation. The idea was that by reducing the birth rate, they could somehow alleviate poverty and resource scarcity.
That's messed up. And it wasn't just Peru, right? Didn't China have that whole one-child policy thing going on for decades?
They did. And while the policy was officially ended in 2016, its effects are still being felt today. The policy led to a huge gender imbalance, with a surplus of men and a shortage of women, which has created all sorts of social problems.
Okay, so we've got forced sterilization in Peru, a skewed gender ratio in China, all because of this fear of overpopulation.
It's pretty crazy when you think about it. And the thing is, these are just two examples. There have been countless other instances of governments implementing policies based on these flawed Malthusian ideas.
So what's the lesson here? Are we doomed to repeat these mistakes?
Not necessarily. I think the key takeaway is that we need to be critical thinkers. When we hear predictions of doom and gloom, we need to question them, to look at the evidence and consider alternative perspectives.
Right. Like, don't just take things at face value. Do your own research, dig a little deeper.
Exactly. And especially when it comes to something as complex as population growth, it's important to remember that there's no one-size-fits-all solution. What might work in one country or region might not be appropriate in another.
And I guess that brings us back to our own community here in Southeast Houston.
Right. We need to be having these conversations at the local level, too. How do we balance population growth with environmental sustainability? How do we ensure that everyone has access to the resources they need? These are questions that deserve our attention.
Absolutely. And to your point about being critical thinkers, we also need to be aware of the potential for bias.
Oh, absolutely. There are always going to be people who benefit from certain narratives, even if those narratives are based on flawed assumptions.
So, like, maybe someone's pushing a certain agenda, or maybe they're just trying to scare people into doing what they want.
Exactly. And it's our job as informed citizens to be able to see through that, to recognize those agendas, and make decisions based on evidence, not fear.
Well said. It's almost like we need to develop a healthy skepticism, right?
Right.
Not to be cynical, but just to be aware that not everything we hear is necessarily true or unbiased.
That's a great way to put it. Healthy skepticism is essential, especially in today's world where we're bombarded with information from all sides.
Okay, so to wrap this all up, it seems like we've covered a lot of ground here. We've explored a centuries-old theory, debunked some pretty scary predictions, and uncovered the real-world consequences of flawed ideas.
And most importantly, I think we've highlighted the need for critical thinking and informed decision-making, both at the global level and right here in our own communities.
This has been, it's been a lot to process, but in a good way. It really makes you think about how powerful ideas can be, for better or worse.
It really does. And it raises a lot of important questions about how we move forward. How do we ensure that the decisions being made, whether it's about population control or resource management, are based on sound evidence and a genuine concern for the well-being of both people and the planet?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And with that, I think we'll leave our listeners to ponder that very question.
Food for thought, for sure.
Thanks for joining us for another deep dive. And remember, if you find value in our show, please consider supporting us at thinkanddactlocally.com/donate. You can find the link in the show notes.
Every little bit helps us continue to bring you these thought-provoking conversations.
That's right. All right, folks, until next time, keep thinking and acting locally.
We'll see you then.